Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Let's get to the play-by-play call of the day. I was driving in the car listening to this when it happened. Tom Hamilton, the Indians, and Santana do it again.
Swung and drilled deep left center field. This ball is off the wall or gone. It is gone. He's done it. Career home run number 200. A walk-off game winner for Santana. And the Indians, incredibly, have won again 6-5.
Tom Hamilton with a call on the Indians radio network. They now have sole possession of first place in the American League Central. The Red Sox had tied the game in the top of the ninth inning on a Xander Bogaerts double that brought home Mookie Betts, but then the Indians on the Santana homer win it. It is the first hit that Marcus Walden had surrendered in 31 hitters. 31 batters, no hits. And then Santana hit the home run. And the Indians have sole possession of first place in the American League Central over the Minnesota Twins. There's your play-by-play call of the day. All right, so let's talk. First of all, CBS Sports preseason All-America team. Micah Parsons is second team All-America on the CBS Sports preseason All-America team. They have Trevor Lawrence, first-team quarterback, Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin, Travis Etienne of Clemson at running back, Jerry Jeudy, Rondale Moore of Purdue. They are the wideouts, and Albert Ogwebonum of Missouri, the redshirt junior, happens to be the tight end. Ben Bredesen of Michigan happens to be one of the offensive linemen. Chase Young of Ohio State. Derek Brown, Kenny Willekes, Raekwon Davis of Alabama up front. Dylan Moses of Alabama, Patty Fisher, Northwestern, Joe Bocci of Michigan State, and the secondary, Bryce Hall of Virginia, Christian Fulton, Grant Delpit of LSU, and Andre Sisco of Syracuse. And Moore, by the way, is also the athletic player that they put down. Isaiah Wright of Temple's the punt returner. And Bucknell will see him on opening day. And Braden Mann of Texas A&M, place kicker. Andre Smith of Syracuse is the kicker. Mann's the punter, I should say. Second team, Tua Tagovailoa. A.J. Dillon of Boston College at running back. DeAndre Swift of Georgia at running back. Laviska Shenault of Colorado at wideout, Tylan Wallace of Oklahoma State at wideout, Jared Pinckney of Vanderbilt at tight end. Nobody from the Big Ten in the offensive line. A.J. Epinesa of Iowa up front with Xavier Thomas of Clemson, Leaky Fotu of Utah, and Nick Coe of Auburn up front. Linebackers, Isaiah Simmons of Clemson, Troy Dye of Oregon, Micah Parsons of Penn State. And the corners, C.J. Henderson of Florida, Paulson Adebo of Stanford, J.R. Reed of Georgia at safety, and Xavier McKinney of Alabama at safety. Rodrigo Blankenship of Georgia is the kicker. The punters, James Smith of Cincinnati. Maurice French of Pitt, the kickoff return man. Jalen Waddell, punt return, and J.J. Taylor of Arizona is the athlete. So that's the CBS.com preseason All-America team. There are nine first team. There are nine unanimous first team preseason selections. Nine unanimous ones. Okay, yeah, they do into these are the guys who are unanimous. Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin. Jerry Jeudy of Alabama. Andrew Thomas of Georgia, who's an offensive lineman. Chase Young of Ohio State. Dylan Moses of Alabama at linebacker. Bryce Hall of Virginia at corner. Grant Delpit of LSU at safety. And Braden Mann of Texas A&M is the punter. And Rondale Moore is the athlete from Purdue. Those are the nine unanimous selections from the 54-person panel. Wow. And nine is a stunning number. Nine's a stunning number. Now, let's get back to contracts. Dak Prescott. Now, if we're just taking it on the surface, a pure value, is Dak Prescott worth $40 million as a quarterback? The answer should not only be obvious, let's go back to what we just talked about with the CBS Sports All-America team. The answer should be unanimous. No.
Okay.
Right? I mean, do you think he's worth $40 million, Sean?
No way. But it's hard to believe that he's only making right now just under $3 million. But still, he's on that rookie deal.
Well, it's the rookie contract. What do you think Saquon Barkley's making?
Yeah. It's come down quite a bit since Sam Bradford cashed in that whopper of a rookie check when he got drafted overall number one.
But if you're the Players Association in conjunction with the owners, okay, if the veterans are the ones you're trying to protect, you want the veterans to get the cash. I mean, the rookies have not done anything yet. And that's what. You know, that's what it comes down to. That's why these deals are slotted. And, you know, remember, he's a fourth-round pick. I mean, so they slot them. He's a fourth-round pick. He's Russell Wilson. Seattle won a Super Bowl because Russell Wilson's third-round deal was so cheap, they had money to spend on free agents. Now, eventually, he had to pay Russell Wilson. What did you say the Wilson number was? 34? 34 million? That sound right?
Yeah.
He's in the neighborhood. It's probably in the neighborhood.
35. Big Ben, 34. Aaron Rodgers, 33.5. Carson, 32. And Matt Ryan, 30 million. Your top five that make 30 plus.
Okay. So you got Russell Wilson, one. He's won a Super Bowl. Roethlisberger's won two. Let's see. Aaron Rodgers has won one. Matt Ryan hasn't won any. Who's the other one?
And number four highest paid, Carson Wentz at $32
million. Wentz. And Wentz has a ring. Kind of like the Phil Simms Super Bowl 25 ring. Sims quarterback most of the season, and then Jeff Hostetler played the Super Bowl. Now let's get to the reality of it. The reality of it is there are not great NFL quarterbacks just floating around in the street and you just pick one up. And because if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you say, we're not going any further with this, we're not paying you $40 million. You then have to sit in the conference room and say, what are our options? And are those options good enough to get us to the promised land? You may look around that room and you may have a couple of answers. Or you may look around the room and say, no, we really don't. He's the, quote, the best answer we have. Because the Cowboys are not in a position to tank it out and get a top five pick, which could be Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert of Oregon. They're not in that position. Because if they don't have Dak Prescott, they still will be a team that probably is 6-10, 7-9, which then makes them the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks are just good enough to get into the playoffs, but they're far enough away from the first overall pick where they can never do anything except get to the first round of the playoffs. Can't advance. Not good. They just don't have enough talent. And you can't keep drafting 14 to 18 all the time and get better. Cowboys are in that spot when it comes to a quarterback. The quarterback that is potentially there that can help them, they'd have to put a package deal and trade for the guy. So that option's not a good option. Do you turn Dak Prescott loose? Here's an open question. If Dak Prescott is turned loose and Dak Prescott is an absolute free agent, how much does he command on the open market? Remember, you've got teams out there that would be bidding for him that need a, quote, good quarterback. Dak Prescott is not a great quarterback. At the same time, Dak Prescott is not a bad quarterback. He's neither. He's in that middle range. He is good enough to win games for you. He is also bad enough at times to lose games for you. But he's in that middle. You can win with Dak Prescott. Prescott would probably end up probably getting a contract similar to Kirk Cousins. Again, this all comes down to leverage and the competency to play the position. The great ones, Rodgers is truly a great quarterback. Roethlisberger's been truly a great quarterback. Wilson's been terrific. Wentz, so far, is off to a good start. Matt Ryan's been good. Obviously, Drew Brees has had a great career. But it's about leverage. He's looking at the Cowboys and he's saying, I am your best option. I'm your best option. Pay me. Huh? Your best option. I mean, and again, who are the options of the Cowboys? What are their options? And usually when you pay the quarterback and you overpay the quarterback, You don't win Super Bowls. Since Joe Flacco got the contract, the Ravens had no flexibility to get anybody else. Seattle's paying Russell Wilson. They have no flexibility to get anybody else. I mean, Green Bay. I mean, you know, you can draft. But they can't go out and get a free agent to change the dynamic of what they have there. They're paying one guy a lot of money. Now, these guys have earned their money because the competency to play this position in this sport is an absolute. You have to be really good at it. And there aren't that many people who are. So Dak Prescott turns down $30 billion. He wants $40. Now, is he worth 40? No. But does he have the leverage for 40? See, they're two different questions. If I'm owning the team, do I pay him 40? No. But I don't own the team. I may be Stephen Jones, but I'm not that Stephen Jones. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
A lot of things will change over the next 6 years, but not the interest rate on your new Kia. In 2025, you'll still be at 0%.
We wanna see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
In fact, your interest rate will stay at 0% for more than 6 years. 75 months. Come into Sunbury Motors Kia now for 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and the 2019 Kia Sereno.
Great for getting you through the central PA terrain.
See for yourself why Kia offers America's best value with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Kia now to get 0% financing for up to 75 months. These rates won't last past the end of the month, so get in today. Value is back at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers through KMF Financing in lieu of rebate. Expires D31-19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty.
All right, great to have you with us. On this Tuesday, we're talking about leverage today. I thought you got a first-hand education on leverage this morning in the staff meeting.
Power trip on that other side of the table. I stayed away from that. Stayed in my lane.
Yeah, but what bothers me is how many people had Jamie on speed dial.
Quite a few. Temptation was definitely there.
And then somebody attempted to overpower the group. Who might that have been?
Oh, the guy who arrived 25 minutes late. Yeah, that was the other thing, too. 25 minutes late.
And then
he had another meeting to attend before finally stopping in to see us.
Well, it certainly had nothing to do with Bucknell football. Maybe we ought to have a meeting about that at some point.
No, it did not. As far as I know, it did not have anything to do with the Learfield broadcast with Doug and Kevin and Matt.
I'm going to guess he was over at some local establishment trying to buy a John Deere. All right, so...
No, he stopped by the break room. I grabbed a late lunch before hopping on here at 3, and I said to him, "What are you doing in this end of the building? Glad you found it. You had to get over here."
So. That was low blow.
Yeah, it was pretty easy.
Most of them are with him. That's, you know, he likes sports where people go in circles. You know, there's a lot of things, yeah. You know. Well, money. Okay, remember who's holding out? Zeke Elliott. He's not under contract, or I guess he is under contract, but he wants more money. I think Elliott makes $7 million a year under his rookie deal. I believe that's the number, that he makes $7 million a year. And he is nowhere to be found. Meanwhile, guess who's been found? Antonio Brown.
Aha. Showed up at the complex at Napa, but did he practice?
No.
There you go.
But he was there. I mean, his feet will heal. But imagine this. So far, we've arrived in a hot air balloon. We've threatened to quit over a helmet. We put on Twitter that we want you to send him a helmet. Yet the most bizarre thing is the guy burned his feet in a cryo chamber. If a team had these issues in the early part of the preseason, it would be newsworthy enough, let alone one guy. One guy. It's all one guy doing this. But the arbitrator ruled against him yesterday. And the arbitrator was rather emphatic about it. I mean, that's the way it is. It's not as if his helmet's a bad helmet, but it's also 11 years old. because it's 11 years old, they're not going to approve it. That has nothing to do with money. It has zero to do with money. It has to do, and again, I go back to the Le'Veon Bell deal. Oh, so wrong. They franchised him twice. It's in the collective bargaining agreement. Your union said yes to it. Okay, quit acting like the big bad bear of the Steelers. Your union said it was okay. They negotiated it. Same story with the helmet. Your union negotiated it. And by the way, your union was right. Your union on this issue was right.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. And we've been talking about money for the most part today. But there's several other things that we want to do and get to as well. Penn State football back to work today. They did not practice yesterday. That's because they did scrimmage on Sunday in the stadium. And they'll get back to work today after that scrimmage. In fact, I think they just started practice now. I'm going to go over once we're done here. All right. I've talked with Jack. And I'll tell you, another person I've talked with has been Dr. Wayne Sebastianelli. And this is the 40th training camp I've been to. That's right. It's the 40th training camp for me. In fact, James asked me the other day how many training camps I told him. And Wayne is at his 25th training camp. And obviously Jack, you know, let's face it, he's been training camps forever. We're all in agreement that in terms of pure athleticism, I'm talking about athletes, and we don't know yet how this is going to translate. Right, but this is in terms of athletic depth, the most athletic Penn State football team we've seen. But we don't know what that means yet. So you have a lot of great athletes out there, and they play like great athletes. But there are two critical lines. One is the athletic line. So as I hold my hand on the desk here, the athletic line is up here as high as I can get it on the desk. There's another line that I'm holding 6 inches away, and that is the experience line. Well, we don't know how this is going to translate yet into games because they haven't played any games. The only way that these two lines can get can even get closer to each other is just by playing. So how will this translate in the Idaho game? How will it then translate in the Buffalo game? How's it going to translate into the Pitt game? The Pitt game will be the third game of the year. But my feeling in watching this team is that when these two lines intersect, the experience line with the athleticism line, you then have a chance of something pretty special. But there's only one way for them to intersect, and that's play. That's go through the trials and tribulations, go through the ups and downs, right? Figure out during the course of the game what's working, what's not working. figure out if they're trying to, quote, use your athleticism against you, which you can. In terms of the depth of athlete on this team, it's the most athletic any of us have seen. And that includes all positions. I've got athletes in the offensive line. I definitely have athletes on the defensive line. Linebacker. You got athletes everywhere on this team. And there's a depth of them. There are going to be some really good athletes, really good athletes, ending up on the scout team. But the separation between the experience line and the athleticism line, that separation is obviously still there until they start playing games. The only way that those two lines can close the gap on each other is by playing. And that is what we're about to see. The, quote, potential of this team has great potential, especially if those two lines meet sooner rather than later. But it may be a case, this could be, you know, it could be a case where the lines meet sooner rather than later and you've got something cooking, boom, right away. Or it could be through trial, tribulation, whatever, setbacks, it takes longer for the two lines to meet. And maybe you don't rack up as many wins as you hope. I think they're going to be very, very good this year. Very good. But it's all going to depend on the path the experience line takes. That's what it's going to be about. So that is that's what I look at with this football team. Experience can make up for some athleticism, but boy, it sure is great to have a lot of athletes all over the place where now you can have the athleticism, the experience line eventually meet the athleticism line. So that's, you know, that's where they are as a football team. You have four really good options at running back. They're all different styles. I pointed that out. You have options at tight end. You certainly have options at wide receiver. We'll say this, a wide receiver, let's go back to the four areas I pointed out in before it began. I said I felt really good about Penn State at 40 out of 44 spots, right? How many times did I say that, Sean? 7 or 8 times?
Quite a bit.
This is on the two deep. All right, so let's start at safety. Hasn't played in a game yet, but Jaquan Brisker does look like he is absolutely one of the four safeties. And he has, I think, all the ingredients to play. I'll say this, Lamont Wade's been very good, though. At wide receiver, I felt they had five between Shorter, Dotson, Hamler, Hip and Hammer, and Daniel George. Okay, now who's going to be the sixth? To be honest with you, both Dan Jacena and Cam Sullivan Brown, I feel they've got seven. I think now I'm here second week saying, okay, I think they're in pretty good shape there. Now, can you find another couple of offensive linemen? What helps is that Miranda has versatility. Miranda played guard, center, both guard spots and centers. You can do both. Des Holmes has versatility. And Anthony Wiggin has more versatility than I thought. Caden Wallace is a really good prospect. So I think they've got that part, you know, in terms of the number of guys that can play the offensive line, that's going to be fine. And again, you're helped by the fact that Des Holmes can play four spots in the offensive line. You're helped by the fact that Wigan can play two spots in the offensive line, that Miranda can play three spots in the offensive line. You're helped by that. That versatility does help you out. It makes a difference. Remember the NFL model. The NFL model is really important. In the NFL, a lot of teams go into games carrying seven, no more than eight offensive linemen. So you're going to have somebody in there that has the versatility to play multiple spots. Right, if you have that, you're okay even on the college level. As much as you idealistically want to have a great two-deep position or a great two-deep situation, if you've got eight guys that, and you've got, and of those eight guys, you have a couple that have multiple position versatility, you're okay. You'd love to have two at each spot. But if you have eight and a couple do have multiple position versatility, you're all right. And the quarterback's going to be fine. It doesn't, you know. I would think that once we give us today Tuesday, and I'm there Wednesday. I'm there Wednesday, right? For the for our get together. When I see everybody Wednesday next week, we should now the team will know what the deal is pretty much across the board because that's about the time they'll break into scout teams. You have to do it at some point. You have to break into scout teams at some point. And it's usually right around that Wednesday, Thursday before the next to last weekend. That's when you now see the separation, or at least between those who are on the, quote, varsity travel team versus those who are not. And at that point, the coaches will know who all the starters are. Now, it doesn't mean starters don't change in the season. It also means that somebody can't lose a job or win a job or move up, or somebody can move off the Scott team and get themselves up to the varsity group. All that's possible on a week-by-week basis, but at least to start the season, in about 8 days, the team will have a pretty good idea of where everybody stands. The public may not know, but the team will know. All right, how about your guy Charlie Manuel getting back, huh? Charlie Manuel is going to be the hitting coach for the Phillies.
Yeah.
And you're right. And you're right. Send him out with the lineup card. The fans will love it tonight.
Well, it turns out there was a press conference about an hour ago with general manager Matt Klintak and manager Gabe Kapler, and we just got some audio from that. This is one of the reasons why they brought Charlie in as hitting coach this late in the season. Here's Matt Klintak.
But the reason we did this and the reason we did this today is because we have 44 games remaining. We are two games out of the playoffs. I know that a lot of people are burying us and saying we have no chance and we haven't played well. And part of that's correct. We have not played well. We have not hit well, especially since the All-Star break. But we are not buried and we are not out. And in my judgment, with 44 games remaining, it makes sense for us to try something different rather than continuing to do the same thing we've been doing. And we are very fortunate that we have Charlie Manuel as a colleague here who is willing to step in at this time, is excited to do it, feels he can help, and will be here tomorrow and give us his very best effort to try to get the most out of this group.
That was General Manager Matt Klintak about an hour ago at Citizens Bank Park. Charlie not in Philadelphia, so I have to wait till tomorrow. Maybe he'll turn in the lineup card of the umpires at home plate tomorrow night. But also picked up this word from Philadelphia, and this is from public address announcer Dan Baker. He actually was just on social media about 15 minutes ago, and he is dealing with a sinus infection. And he regretfully says he's going to miss an undetermined amount of games. He plans to return as soon as possible. He says, thank you, enjoy the ball games, and go Phils. So he has been on our show before, so we definitely send a speedy, smooth recovery to the one and only Dan Baker.
Yes, yeah, really. Boy, does he have a voice. Boy, sorry to hear about that. Good man. Good man.
Up to season 48.
Jeez, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
What a run.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, look, bringing back his hitting coach, just in terms of the public relations part's awesome. The public relations part's awesome. Hey, by the way, also our best to Jessica Mendoza, who does not listen to the show at all. But, of course, she's scheduled to be in Williamsport this weekend. She missed Sunday Night Baseball. She was in a car accident. Her vehicle was hit from behind. And that's why she missed Sunday Night Baseball. She says she'll be back this weekend, and I hope that's true. All right, we will take a break. We'll close out in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us as we wrap things up. So, the Sunday Night Baseball team had a very rough weekend, didn't it, Sean?
Hey, not only Jessica Mendoza was involved in that traffic accident over the weekend, but also this was going down during the ESPN telecast of the Giants-Phillies game on Sunday night. Alex Rodriguez had $500,000 worth of stuff stolen from his rental car while the game was going on. Law enforcement officials say that, you know, while he was broadcasting the game for ESPN, his SUV was broken into. It was parked a few blocks from Oracle Park. The burglary happened around 10 p.m. Eastern time. Thieves made off with $500,000 worth of electronics and jewelry. He had been at the stadium, A-Rod, nearly the entire day, and he and the ESPN crew called the Giants 9-6 win. Law enforcement sources say that they've made this case a high priority. Investigators have been working to collect evidence. And A-Rod says that, "I'm saddened that several items that were of a personal nature and irreplaceable with sentimental value were taken. I'm encouraged that local law enforcement has security footage of the crime. They're doing all that they can to get the items back."
What are you doing with $500,000 in your car?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what gets me. I mean, you should be able to put anything anywhere that's personally yours. Okay, that I do have a complete understanding. Because that does disgust me. That would, you know, somebody else just thinks they can just go in and take your stuff. Get the heck out of here. You're not entitled to that in any way, shape, or form. The
stolen items include jewelry, right, a laptop, a camera, and electronic equipment. Can't say he was doing Christmas shopping for J-Lo. Can't be doing that.
Well,
I don't know. Swag for the kids? Don't know.
I just, leaving $500,000, I mean, don't you leave that stuff instead? Maybe
I think San Francisco is one of the top cities in the country that's known for, you know, car break-ins. And we were talking about this during the break. I mean, I figured, yeah, you brought this up. Yeah, why you'd have a driver? Why don't you have a driver take you to the stadium? Or if you, instead of parking a couple of blocks away, you figure there'd be a VIP media section that, you know, you're able to park near the door or near a tunnel that gets you into
right.
The media section of the stadium.
Right.
Very weird.
I know. No, it's very, very weird. It's the whole thing is strange, and I don't get it. I'm missing something. I don't get it. Why don't you leave the stuff at the hotel in the hotel safe? Get a driver, drive over, boom, go back, go to the hotel, get it out of the safe, get the valet, get your car, then leave. Doesn't that sound like a common sense way of doing it?
Yeah. He's A-Rod. He's got enough people, you would think, in his group, entourage, to get all that taken care of.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah.
You'd think.